meeting this Wednesday, April 30th at 7 o'clock, and we've been studying the parables of Jesus. This week, we are looking at the parable, or story, of the rich man and Lazarus, and it's found in Luke 16, 19 to 31. There's handout sheets now on the podium for this week's study. Please feel free to take one, even if you can't come to the study. It's an interesting parable or story to look at. This Saturday, May the 3rd, at 10 a.m., we're meeting at Ambassador Baptist for our outreach event. It's in it's being done with Banwell Community Church. It's a great opportunity to let people in our community know that God loves them and deliver invitations to come and worship with us. If you'd like to see what the invitations look like, they are found on the back podium next to the Bible study. And on Sunday, May the 18th, the induction service for Pastor James will be happening here at our church at 3 p.m. Please plan to attend this special service in the afternoon. Our call to worship this morning is found in 1 Chronicles 16, 8 to 11. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known all the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Our first hymn this morning is Anywhere with Jesus. If you're
in prayer at this time. God, our Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you for the ability to come here and worship together. Lord, we just thank you for all of the blessings you bestow upon us. Lord, some of them we identify and we thank you for. And Lord, we just ask forgiveness for those times where we fail to thank you for the blessings that you give to us, for the provisions that you give to us, for the health that you give to us, and for the restoration of health when we're not well. Lord, we just thank you that you watch over us, that you're with us at all times. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough. Lord, we just pray for each person in our church family. We don't always know the cares and the concerns that are happening in each individual household, Lord, but you know. You know all things. You know the needs that we have. You know the sickness that we have, the healing that we need, the finances that we need help with. Lord, you know all of our situations. You know the family members that we have concerns about. And Lord, we just know that we can lay all of these concerns at your feet. You hear us when we pray and you answer us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the encouragement that you give to us. We thank you for the fact that we can see your work in this world. We can see your beauty in the creation all around us. And, Lord, it's hard to understand how somebody isn't able to see that you are the creator. You're the God of all things. And, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we just pray for people in our congregation that need your healing touch, and we especially pray for Mary and for Kathy that need your healing at this time. Lord, we just lay this at your feet and ask for your healing hand to be upon them. Lord, we know that you are the master of all things. You created us, and you can also heal us. You have that healing power, so we just know that we can trust you to bring that healing about in your time. Lord, we just ask that when we are not well, that we're patient because it's in your time alone that that healing comes. Lord, we just thank you for our families. We thank you for this beautiful new life that we see around us in creation as the spring and flowers start to come out. And Lord, we just thank you for the beauty that we see. Lord, we pray for our sister churches that are worshiping you at this time. And Lord, we just ask that your blessing upon the services there. Lord, we just know that you are present in all places. And Lord, we just thank you that we have other churches that we can partner with in the city. And we just pray now for the outreach activity that's coming up. We just pray that as we go and knock on doors in our neighborhood, that we can share your love, share your message of salvation. And, Lord, we just pray that the seeds we plant will be watered and come to life in people that we knock on the doors in our neighborhood. Lord, we know that you are in control of all things, so we know that the results are in your hands if we're faithful to serve you in this way. So just help us to be unafraid to come and go out and participate, even if it's for just a short time. Lord, we just know that you will bless the efforts that we make as we reach out and share the good news about you with others. Lord, we just pray that you'll give us more opportunities to reach out and show your love in our community. And Lord, we just thank you for our pastor and his leadership as we plan activities that we can do that will be pleasing and honoring to you. Lord, we just ask as we continue in this service that you bless this time as we sing your praises, as we read your word, as we hear your word preached to us. And Lord, we just pray for the other churches in our city, in our country, and all around the world. Lord, we just know that you are being worshipped and praised this morning. And Lord, there's even in places where there's persecution, that there are people that are still worshiping you secretly. And Lord, we just pray for freedom for those Christians that are in that situation. Lord, we also pray for our missionaries that are serving in different countries, and that you will protect them and bless them as they serve to reach out in your name as representatives of our CBOQ missionaries. Lord, we just thank you for all of these good things. We thank you for your presence this morning. And Lord, just speak to us as we continue to worship here together this morning. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. It's entitled, The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Amen to each and every one of us today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and we thank God for his messes. Last week we were celebrating the Easter Sunday, and I'm sure that afterwards we had wonderful times with friends, families, or just alone, depending on how we chose to have celebrated the season. So the Bible tells us that Jesus resurrected, and at the place of his resurrection, the words were given by the angel to the women that came, go on to Galilee. He is no longer in the tomb, because he already told them that on the third day he would be raised from the dead. And they were to meet with him in Galilee. And so the women carried the message down to the disciples. In one of the records of the scripture, the Bible says even the disciples, I think two of them, had to come to verify what the women had said, kind of. And by the time they got there, the angel said to them, who they thought was a gardener, said, that's the cloth that they used to wrap both his body and his head. They're there. He's no longer here. He is risen. In one of the accounts, it says that Jesus himself did appear to them and say, go and tell them that I'm risen. The women wanted to hold him and said, no, I need to go before your father and my father, but go ahead to Galilee. And so the place that we read this morning, the latter part of Matthew 28, which we read the first 10 verses last Sunday, is our place of discourse this morning. And I trust that as we challenge ourselves to prepare for the outreach that we'll be having come on Saturday, I pray that this will be a reminder to us, as well as to anyone who will be listening, of the great assignment that God has given to us as his children for such a time as this. Let's bow down our heads as we pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for another time to be here. As we look into your word, the perfect law of liberty, we ask, O God, that you will brood upon your word by your Holy Spirit, and that you grant us a new spark into taking the assignment of the Great Commission more seriously, even at such as this season, the end time. As we see all that is happening around our world, may our love for those in our neighborhood grow. May our love for the lost grow. May we be able to see how that you want us to be co-laborers with you to advance your kingdom and to save souls. Thank you, because we know today you will remind us, you will inspire us, and you will bless us more than even before we came. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to use this medium, even though they're not here, to say to us that yesterday, myself and Ashish, we were able to be a part of the breakfast fellowship of the Banwell men, and it was a wonderful time, really a wonderful time. That will be my third time of visiting Banwell. Two of it was for the men's conference, which had to do with men, and now the second one was with the men's breakfast. And they are wonderful people, I would say that. We bless God for their lives. This outreach that we are looking at is a partnership with them, but then the way the partnership goes is, as much as they are doing so much in this assignment, because they know and believe that Scripture wants you to help those who are not as strong as yourself in carrying out God's assignment and fulfilling God's purpose. So as sister Baptist churches, they are coming to join us for this outreach, which means that in one of my African adage, they would say that when a child stretches out hands, it's easier for the mother to do what? To carry the child. But when the child does this way, kind of folds up the hand, that tells the mother it's going to be difficult carrying this child at this point, because is it not going to be shaking the legs or something? And what that is meant to say is that when you have people who support you, assist, or encourage you, it becomes very good if you yourself do something alongside. Then it's not as if you leave those who should be assisting from their role of assistance to their role of doing. So for us as a family here, by God's grace, they get to receive God's blessing that they are supporting us to do mission. So for them is also mission. But then we get to benefit more, because why? Every person that we are able to reach with invites, or we are able to talk with, gets to come here to worship. So that means it is more for us, more in it for us than it is for them. And in the midst of this, you know, I'm glad that God has been working in their hearts to get this done. So this is You Are Loved. They had this done when they had an outreach program for their church. And then they decided to do the same thing after we went through the words, and it's wonderful. So there's no need for anything to change. The only thing they did, which was magnanimous of them, is to remove their name and their logo and print with our church logo and name and address. And they've done 800 copies of this for us. And so we thank God for their lives. But what are they trying to do? To encourage us so that we can do more for Christ. And so I will start by letting all of us know as much as possible. Please, if you can be here on Saturday, please be here. And we're going to be having different groups of people because I know that it's not easy for everyone to be mobile or to move around. So we're going to have people who are going to be on ground here, at least praying for those of us who have gone. So, which means if you are not that mobile, you can get seated in the church here or at the basement, wherever we decide to. I think the basement much more. And then you can sit and pray for us as the rest of us are able to go out. So that's one assignment. The second part of it is that for those of us who are going out, you don't necessarily need to talk. For those of us who are shy or may not want to engage, all you need to do is to do what? Give the tract as an invite. You ask people, oh, we would like to invite you to our church. And then if the person feels like he wants to engage you, then you, if you feel like or you are able to, then you go ahead. We will discuss that on Saturday morning when we come. But then if you are unable to, just say, oh, that's all. You can beckon on somebody else who is with you to do that. That's one. The other thing you can do is that if you have the capacity and you're willing to engage, then you can talk. To make it easier, you could probably even just talk from this and just take cue from what is written there. Say it nearly verbatim, and you have said something. So what we're saying is that there's something for everybody, and it's not something to be afraid of. In fact, you're sharing, and we're talking about the love of Jesus, which I believe we have experienced, we have enjoyed, and for some of us, we have enjoyed and experienced that for years. And so please, let's see this as fulfilling one of the mandates that God has given to us, and that's what we're discussing this morning. So, let me start by the way of, there's a song that says, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. This morning we're looking at after Easter, what's next? And in a short answer to that, the Great Commission. After Easter, what's next? And the answer is the Great Commission. So, in chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 10, we see the resurrection. But then, in chapter 28, from verse 16 to verse 20, we see the Great Commission. So, that day starts about Jesus, or that passage starts about Jesus resurrecting, and it gets to the place where they get on Easter Monday, to Galilee, and here they are. And the Bible says that they see Jesus, and Jesus sees them, and then immediately that they saw Jesus, some of the disciples, what did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped. While some of them bowed down and worshiped, a few of them, the Bible said they had doubts. Doubts, are we sure this is the real person? Are we sure it's not his ghost? Are we sure this is not a mirage? But for those who worshiped, they worshiped because they knew he had said earlier that he was going to rise from the dead. They knew because the women had come to tell them that he is risen. Go. The angel had spoken. That even Jesus himself had appeared and the message had been brought to these people. And so they had the ground to believe. And their response to this belief that Jesus has resurrected or had resurrected was for them to worship immediately they saw him. So the question we need to ask ourselves this morning after the Easter, the question is, what is our response to the resurrected Savior? What has been your response? What is your response daily to the one who died for us, to the one who took our place on the cross, to the one who redeemed us from the slave market of sin and of death and hell? What has been our response? Because every day we are either responding in worship or we are responding to our fears, we are responding to our doubts, we are responding to our double-mindedness, we are responding to our worries or cares, or we are responding even to the devil or ourselves. Every day our response will either go towards worshiping him or not worshiping him. And so let's do a short or very quick inventory. January, we're now in April. Just look through your week and ask yourself, how well has my response each day show or prove my worship of Jesus? Or my response have been to other things. Myself, the devil, my worries, my doubt, any other thing but Jesus. They were his disciples, so it's not that they were not. So they lived with him. He led them in teaching, in crusades, in revival, whatever language we use. They saw the dead come back to life. They saw those who were sick being healed of their diseases. They saw miraculous manifestations of his word. They listened and saw him teach as one who had authority in the word, and he knew the doctrines of Jehovah better because he was the Son, and he's still the Son of God. He spoke that it got to a point, the Bible said, the people looked at him, and the disciples too knew that he spoke not as the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He expressed love, even to people that others would condemn. They saw people who were considered outcasts, women caught in prostitution, demoniacs, and so on. And yet Jesus would still reach out in love to them. They saw people who had lived recklessly or that the society did not like because of their own doing, not because they were so good. People like the tax collectors. They saw somebody like Zacchaeus who would climb up on a tree just because he wanted an audience with Jesus, and he felt he was a dwarf and may not be able to catch his attention in the midst of the crowd. So they knew him. But strongest of all, when he got to a point and he saw the reactions of people to his ministry, he said, the Bible said, and he sent all of them away. And then the disciples stayed behind and he said, are you not going as well? What are you still doing? They said, to whom will we go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. So they recognize who indeed the level of teaching ministry that he had. the doctrinal preachings that he stood for. But then they also saw that he was not as religious as the religious leaders. He was far more than that. And then he got to a point, he did ask them, who do men say that I am? He wanted to know what the crowd and the people out there, the community, was saying about him. And he was asking them. Let me just pause somewhere there. Who do people say we are as Ambassador Baptist Church? How do they see us? What's the reputation we have outside there? What's the identity that we show as individuals who are ambassadors in Ambassador Baptist Church? So Jesus asked them. But interestingly, after they have said what other people felt or said about Jesus, then Jesus would ask them the critical question, so who do you say I am? And only Peter could answer that question. And even his answer, Jesus said, flesh and blood could not have given this response. Indeed, you got this revelation from my Father. In essence, you see me as God sees me. So I'll put this question in us and for us to reflect. How do we see ourselves? It's one thing how people see us, but how do we see ourselves? As Ambassador Baptist Church, how do you, who is a member of Ambassador Baptist Church, how do you see our church? How do I see our church? Those were the questions Jesus asked. So when he died and he resurrected, their response, either in worship or in doubt, was truly a response to who they knew he was. For those who knew he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, the Savior, they would worship. For others who knew, but they were not really too sure or really could wrap their minds around it, they had their doubts. And the same happens to us, for those of us who have called ourselves Christians. How do we see Jesus? How do we see our church? How do we see ourselves? Paul said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, except in Jesus. Paul went on to say, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul said, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. He said, the life I now live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So Paul saw his identity in Christ. That whatever value he had is because of who Christ is. And that's why we can talk about being Christians, because it means being Christ-likes. And the Bible says the first time they were called that was in Antioch, because the people looked at their life and they said, these people had been with Jesus, their lives and their proclamation. So when we say, what next after the Easter, many a times in church calendar, the next thing is called the Pentecost. Is that not so? So we talk about the Pentecost Sunday. And we'll be having one very soon. As Association of Baptist Churches with the AMBA. Amitsburg Missionary Regular Baptist Association. So we'll be having a Pentecost coming. That's June. That will be June. June 8th, I think. Yes, June 8th in the afternoon at Union Baptist Church. So there'll be the Pentecost. But did you notice? When Jesus resurrected, before he was taken up into heaven, the last thing he said to them, which is what led even to the Pentecost, is that between the Easter and the Pentecost was the ascension. And just right before the ascension, Because before you got to the Easter, Jesus was already telling them, in Luke, he told them, said, don't go anywhere until you are endued with power, stay, you know, a whole lot of that. But then after he had resurrected, he said to them, go into all the nations, make disciples, teach them to observe the things I have taught you. And I am with you always, even to the end of ages. But then he says, how did he start? He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore. So before we had the Pentecost, Jesus gave them the reason why he came. So the heart of the matter, why Jesus came, is so that the good news about his love and what he had achieved on the cross by dying for us is spread to all of mankind to know. So, somebody once said, when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So, what's the purpose of Christianity? The purpose of Christianity is to share the love of God with all of humanity so that we know that he died for us and he loves us enough that he doesn't want us to go to hell. So every church service, every potluck, every barbecue, every charity, whatever we do as church, the reason why Jesus came, why we do all those things, is so that we can help people know about the love of Jesus. And that is the greatest commission that we are given. That is the greatest assignment. And I tell you, if we fail in that assignment, we have failed God. Can you imagine the method? Jesus resurrects from the dead, and now he's telling the disciples, carry this message and go. And right from the middle is there. That message, I tell them, my people, while I was in Ghana, I said, that message from those 12 disciples with all the 12 apostles, the 120, the 80, the 70, and then the 500 that witnesses ascension, they carried the message and the message got to the uttermost part of the earth. And right from down that side, somehow, the journey of God's love could get to us, any part of the globe. Because those 500 at the largest took a radical disposition. What was that? If this is the Great Commission, then this is the assignment we live for and we die for. Well, I'm not planning to tell anybody to die right now. So don't think I'm saying that. Amen? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying go and die because you want to preach the gospel. I'm only saying that we need to put in more. There are places where people are dying for the gospel. Yes, right now. Even today. Even at this moment. Just because they want to preach this gospel, they are killed for that. There are places where they are killed, just the only offense they have committed is that they are Christians. Some, it's not just because they are Christian, because they venture to open their mouth and to preach, because in their place, it is illegal for you to preach the gospel of Jesus to save any soul. And they still dare it. There are places that it's impossible and it is illegal for you to carry and have or own a Bible or to give a Bible to somebody. And there are people who will still risk their life, risk their resources, risk their family, risk their businesses, and will still smuggle the Bible. Did you hear what I said? Smuggle. Smuggling is not good, but people smuggle the Bible. Just because they want people to hear and know and be able to read by themselves. And I can tell you there are places. I was talking with one of those our lecturer at the time. And I also talked about with a guy who I think he's a third generation from one of these Asian countries. He's here, but the father is a pastor. And the father will go yearly to Asia. He still goes there. And he goes to teach their Bible college some crash things once every year. But one of the times they arrested him and with their group. Because they do it quietly underground. But somehow some neighbors got wind of it and reported to the police. And then they come and the police comes there. And they beat these people mercilessly. And the people were still rejoicing. And this young man told me, he's now at the seminary as well. And then he told me, he said, he was confused. As that the father was confused and asked them, why are you guys rejoicing? They just beat us up. And they said, we are glad that we have opportunity to suffer for Christ. And he felt, wow, this is crazy. He said, they didn't kill us. They could kill us. They just beat us up and they left us. For him, he's from Canada here, you know, he'd left there so many generations. And so, you know, he wanted to start talking about human rights and assault. But when he saw the situation, all those grammar and all those rights went out. Because they told him, it's nice that they just beat us. They could have killed us and nothing will happen. Because what we are doing is illegal and you know. That's what some people risk themselves for. Just to make sure that this Bible could get to people to. So Jesus says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So why do we share the gospel of Jesus? Yes, because he loves us. His love is so overwhelming. His love is so authentic that we will be doing our world a displeasure if we don't tell them about the love of Jesus. There is nothing that changes or has transformed lives radically like the love of Jesus. And so Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, knowing that all power belongs to him, then we have all the grounds to go. Sometimes we like people to come. Yes, it's good. You just stay on your own, you know, we don't like any stress. And then we just pray. Angels, just go and bring the people from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Angels, move. Oh, just talk to people about Jesus and bring them to our church. Amen. Good prayer. Not scriptural enough. Jesus would have told the disciples, stay and pray that angels will go and bring the people. No, he said, you go. So, the subject of the Great Commission, which has to do with evangelism and mission, outreach in whatever ways or whatever English we use for it, it's a going assignment, which means we reach out to people where they are to draw them to Christ. And that doesn't mean it's only the time that as a church we want to go out on what we call mass evangelism. It means that every day as we have opportunity, we get to do it. We get to invite people to the church. We get to tell people about the love of Jesus, which is even beyond a church thing. The reason why we invite people to church is because God wants us to have a place of fellowship with one another. It is not because the church is the place where people get saved and they go to heaven. No, it is where people who get saved in Christ come to encourage, support, and spur one another to be able to walk the Christian race together in community. That's why the church. So we don't get outside there to say, okay, come to our church. If you come to our church, you will get to heaven. I can assure you. Amen. No. There's only one that still saves, and that's Jesus. Our church can't save anybody. No. But Jesus does. Saves people every day, every day, every day, every day. If we care enough to share his love with them. And what did he say we should do? He said, go therefore, make disciples. Making disciples is not just converts. Making disciples means that we are interested in investing our faith and our life into helping somebody else experience Jesus in a way that we have experienced him, and even better. We help them to develop a special and a personal relationship with Jesus. But all he needs for us, and that's what you were saying to the disciples, be available. I've given you the backing. I've given you the teaching. Just make yourself available by going. And sometimes that is difficult. It's difficult because some of us, we have phobia. The phobia of facing somebody else, or we are shy. Sincerely, if I told you that I'm a shy person, I know you won't believe me. How many of you agree? I'm actually a shy person. But you know what changed me? It's Jesus Christ. It's the one. It's just because of his gospel. On my own, I could be very reserved on a whole lot of stuff when it comes to personal. But when it comes to Jesus, I'm an extrovert. I can keep talking about him. And it took me time to be able to come there. Not in one day, I can tell you. Because when I started facing crowd, I had to learn not to look at the faces of people, or else there will be breaking transmission. I just forget all the things I wanted to say. So I had to learn. I remember one of the teachers who taught me then in the Sunday school, and she's in the UK, she's a minister of God. She said, don't look at the people's face, just look at both their heads. So I spent time looking at the door of the church. While I'm talking, I'm trying not to make any eye contact, because when I do, all what I wanted to say just flies away. Then I'll be needing the Holy Spirit to help me remember what I wanted to say. But today, I can look at people and I can say what I need to say, because somehow I came to learn it's not about me, it's about him. God needs us to be his voice and his agent. There's no alternative. God's method of reaching people is still people. Sometimes we wonder, why would God use frail humanity to reach other people, knowing we have weaknesses, knowing we have flaws? Because that is still his plan. God does not have a plan B. The only plan he had was for Jesus to come, die, and you and I, when we receive him, become his witnesses and tell the people around, something great has just happened to me. We tell it in our daily living. We tell it in our business place. We tell it in our academic place. We tell it by every opportunity that we have. And at sometimes, just like we have this week, we go out together to go and tell others. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available for you. I'll do what you said I'll do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available for you. Lord, I'm available for you. Lord, I'm available for you. I'll do what you said I'll do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, My storage is empty, and I am available for you. Can you imagine Jesus spending the time before his ascension? And he tells the people, go ye into all the world, saying to his disciples and everyone who seemed to be around, said, go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. And they would say, okay. After he has gone, then they said, don't mind him. He just spoke on his own. Can we go back to our normal life? And they never shared about him. And they kept their mouth shut. And they allowed all the rumors, because there were rumors, the Bible said, they said, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrins, and as well as the Roman officials, especially the Jewish leaders, they had to spread the rumor that, no, they bribed people to say he was stolen, his body was stolen, so he didn't resurrect. Can you imagine Peter, James, and John keeping quiet and people around us saying, oh, we heard that you guys stole the cups of your master. Wow. And he said, well, anything you say. I can assure you, we will not be sitting in this church today. There is nothing as terrible for the gospel of Jesus, and that's why it's dying in our generation, because we have people who kept quiet. If those who have the truth will not share it, then lies will prevail. Those who have false messages, those who have false Jesuses, those who have false doctrines and false belief and false religious identification will push it out there. And can I say to us, the people that we refuse to share the love of God with will become the people that becomes agents of the devil to be used tomorrow. And they will make life unbearable for our next generation, and they will make things tougher, and they will take wrong decisions, and they will be the people causing the wrecks and the havocs. Some of them will become the criminals. Why? Because the devil does not like an idle life. It takes over. It comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has given us an assignment, because he has come to give life and to give it abundantly. And if we are Ambassador Baptist Church, what we are saying is that we are God's ambassadors in Christ Jesus. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So we even carry the name. By virtue of our name, we say we are Christ ambassadors. Don't worry about the ambassador bridge. That's one side of it. But we're really ambassadors for Christ as Ambassador Baptist Church. You and I. And if the ambassador will not speak for his country, can you imagine an ambassador of Canada who doesn't speak in favor of Canada? Which kind of an ambassador would that be? We'll ask, send him back home. He's not doing well. Because every ambassador represents his country, represents the leadership, represents his president. We as Christ ambassador represents the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, his reign, his rule, his word, his love. We represent his kingdom. We represent his person to the world. Now, what does that mean? Like I said earlier, before I started, not every one of us can be up and standing, because we may have health challenges. But do you know the thing? There is always something, a role we can play in sharing, in proclaiming the word of God to people in and around us. We are the strongest testimony of who Jesus is to our neighborhood. We are the strongest PR officers for our community, our church. We are. We don't just represent the church, we represent Jesus. And every day we have life and breath, We have the assignment to share the love of God. What has he done for you? Because every act of response of sharing about him is an act of worship. And worship is a product of where you place worth. So if God, you place premium on God and of Jesus in your life and in your life story, then you get to share that which is important, which is him, with other people. What happens when we share the gospel? John 15:16. I want to read as it is written there. John 15:16. Are we there? Okay, so I could quote it offhand, but I just want to. Okay. So he says in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruits. Fruits that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So we should go bear fruits, that the fruit abides, and whatever we ask in his name, he will do. So, apart from we worship when we do this, apart from that we're sharing God's love, apart from that, we are obedient to him when we go and we do the Great Commission, is that because we are responding to the heartbeat of God, which is to save humanity, he said, when you go and bear fruit and your fruit abides, then you will ask anything in my name from the Father and it shall be done. It means that when you fulfill the Great Commission, you are opening yourself to answers to your own prayers. Because now you make God glad, God wants to make you glad. And so, if we understand this, and then finally he says to them, I am with you always. That means anytime you have the opportunity to share about Jesus, his presence is there. That's a beautiful part. And that's something we must live with. So, I'm not going alone. So, as we go out on Saturday and we go out any other day, personally or collectively, you are not alone. Jesus promises to be with us. Is that not interesting? The one who died and resurrected says, you go out and preach and I'm with you. So even if when I feel weak or feel weary or feel worried or wondering if I say something, would it make sense? I just know that Jesus is there. And when I know he's there, then I share. And if somebody perchance asks me and I'm bold enough, I say, oh, Jesus is here with us. It's okay and good to know that he didn't just say, you go. And then he says, don't worry, go on your own. He says, I am with you. And so, as I close my mouth this morning, I encourage us once again, not just for Saturday alone, which it will be great to have us here, but for every day. Let us seek how we can talk about Jesus. While people are talking of the devil and talking about their flesh and talking about themselves on social media or even on public streets, please let us be proud enough of our Jesus and what he has done in our life that we will share. And by any means, Paul said, I became all things to all men, so that if by any means I'll be able to save some. Not all, but at least some. And I believe whatever your strength or your weakness, God knows, and we can do it together. So let's come out on Saturday and be ready to trust God that by the time we go out somewhere along the line, even if it's just one soul, the Bible says there is what? Joy in heaven. And we have dealt with the parables that tells us somebody goes out to go and look for one sheep that is lost. So even if it's just because of one, The Bible says there's party in heaven. So why can't I make heaven glad, even if it's just one? So we're not aiming for too much, but then we know that it will be more than one. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. It will be more than one. But then let's just give ourselves the minimum. We're going out even for at least one. So if we get one person, we get the heavens to celebrate. And then we say, yes, we've done something as people in Ambassador. But then it will be more than one by God's grace. But then, let's come in. So you'll be opportune to pray. You'll be opportune to maybe go along. You'll be opportune to be here. Don't worry. We are all in a team, and we'll be doing it together. Okay, so let's bow down heads as we pray. Father, thank you for this time. We're looking forward to the Pentecost, indeed, the season of empowerment.
Yes.
But Lord, we also know that you gave the Great Commission before you ascended into heaven, which is after Easter. We remind ourselves of this truth, and we choose not to be lazy. We choose not to be selfish. We choose not to be timid or be afraid, because you said you'd be with us. The things you have taught us in your word, your doctrines, your teachings, are the things you expect us to share, and your love, your debt, your kindness that we ourselves have experienced. Lord, I ask that you help us. And if there's anyone here, oh God, who has not surrendered their lives to you and they are part of our congregation here, I ask that you touch their hearts with the same love that you have shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that they will experience your love, so that they can share with others the goodness of your life that they have received. Lord, we pray that as we prepare, oh God, for the outreach program, come on the 3rd here to reach our neighborhood close to us here with invites and to tell them about your love. May we be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to come. And we pray for our brethren from Banwell Community Church that as they come to join us in this assignment to fulfill the Great Commission, bless all of us, strengthen us, embolden us. And Lord, let our health be sound. Let our mind be sound. Let our spirit, O God, be sound. Let your presence accompany us. Let your angels be here. And let your Holy Spirit minister to us. Thank you, because we know that as we begin to pray each day and as we begin to prepare ourselves, O God, at the end, O God, there will be joy in heaven, because souls will be won and we will have been obedient to your instruction and your command. And the blessings that follows your obedience will be ours. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Somebody say amen.